We own this country.
We own it. And it's not you owning it and not politicians owning it. Politicians are employees of ours. And they're just going to come around and beg for votes every few years, and it's the same old deal. But I just think that it's important that you realize that whether you're Democrat or whether you're a Republican or whether you're Libertarian or whatever, when somebody does not do the job, we've got to let them go.
When your entire culture is under attack, you need the country's number one voice in defense of our American way of life. You need an ally in the fight against tyranny and corruption. You need your weekly dose of Lisa Payne Nager. Missouri Grassroots Radio Network proudly adds our own beauty to America the Beautiful, your own culture vigilante, Ms. Lisa Payne Nager.
Good evening. This is Lisa Payne Nager, and you're listening to Missouri Grassroots Radio. This is Culture Vigilante. We're here every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. A lot of interesting things went on in the last couple of weeks since we last talked. There's a lot of things going on in the news, and we're going to touch on some of that tonight. Great things going on in Missouri, a lot of stuff going on nationwide. One of the most interesting things that I can think of that we have been dealing with, and I'm multitasking while I talk to you, so if I'm sounding a little distant, I'm trying to do some other things here with the board, so please forgive me. But the Zimmerman trial, everybody's talking about it. We're almost tired of talking about it, but almost every day something new surfaces about the Zimmerman trial, and I'll tell you, folks, I thought the guy was a goner. I thought they were going to send him away. I didn't think that there was any way that he was going to get any justice in this thing. The media had skewed this trial so far away from anything that was close to reality, what I thought was reality anyway, that I thought they were going to send him away for life. I didn't think he had any chance at all at a fair trial, and I was shocked when the verdict came in over the weekend that they did not convict him of what they said that he was trying to do of guilty of murder or manslaughter, and all of those last minute changes to the jury instructions, to bring the manslaughter charge in at the last minute and the child abuse charges in at the last minute, pretty incredible. So anyway, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the legal system or the judicial branch of government, as many of you know if you've been listening to me for very long, and I really did not think that this case was going to go very well for George Zimmerman. So while George Zimmerman may not have been, the role model that many of us think that he should be, I certainly don't think he did anything wrong in this case, and neither did the jury, thank God. So really glad to hear that George Zimmerman got off on that charge, and really hope that he can pull his life together, because I think what they're trying to do now, Eric Holder is trying to find more charges against him and more things that he can charge him with on a federal level. That poor man, his life is ruined, and I think it's a travesty. So have been following that, like most folks, very closely for the last couple of weeks. We have some events going on here in Missouri. I wanted to kind of give you guys an update of what's been going on with the Department of Revenue situation. If you hear that little pinging, those are the folks on Blog Talk Radio trying to get back with me. Oh, they want me to take a survey now. I'm not going to do that right now. Sorry. I'm on the air. The Department of Revenue issue, I've been following that issue pretty closely over the last several months, too, just like everybody else. And a few weeks ago, I sent a list of questions to Tim Jones and Will Krause. It was right before the 4th of July holiday. And in all fairness, I did send it 2 days before the 4th of July holiday. So, we wanted to make sure that they had an opportunity to answer those questions. And I wrote a couple of articles. I wrote an article at examiner.com, and I wrote one for Politichicks TV. And interestingly enough, never got a response from Tim Jones or Will Krause on the Department of Revenue issues, on the request for information that I sent for them. Did hear back from Will Krause's legislative aide. Nice gentleman. And I extended him an invitation to Will Krause to come on air anytime, answer those questions on air. Told him I'd give him an open mic. Still haven't heard a word from those folks. What I was learning was on July 1st, Governor Jay Nixon signed SB 252 into law, which said that the Missouri Department of Revenue can no longer scan documents when you are reapplying for your driver's license or your CCW or anything else for that matter. And they were not supposed to also take biometric photos, which they have been doing. And as you know, if you've been following the issue, they've been scanning that information in. It's been going, finding its way to the federal government. Department of Homeland Security has had that information. They've sent disks through the mail with people's private and personal information, you know, all of this going on. Jay Nixon has been, it's been suggested, Janet Napolitano sent him a thank you letter, I think in 2010, I'll have to go back and look that one up for you, thanking him for complying with Real ID, which is against the law here in Missouri. Anyway, as of July 1st, he let go of all that and signed 252 into law, and now all that was supposed to stop. And so I thought, okay, fine, you know, where's the proof that this is going to stop, and where's the follow-up that this is going to stop? And those were the questions that I sent to Tim Jones and Will Krause, you know, that they never answered. Made some phone calls to my Department of Revenue office here where I live in West St. Charles County, Missouri. Could not get anybody to answer my question. The only question they would answer was, we are no longer scanning documents. As to whether or not they were still taking biometric photos, they could not discuss it, and they referred me to the Department of Revenue in Jefferson City, who could also not discuss it. And they've referred me to the legal department, who referred me to the governor's office. And I think I got bounced around 20 different times trying to find an answer to that question. And I finally got a hold of Michelle Fleba, who is the director of communications for the Department of Revenue. And she assures me, although I've seen nothing in writing, that the Department of Revenue is no longer taking biometric photos of anybody in Missouri. Now, I'm going to stay on top of that story for you folks, and I'll continue to ask questions, and I will again extend an invitation to Will Krause. He can come on my air. I'll give him a free microphone to give his explanation to the situation and answer any questions that folks may have about this issue. He's certainly welcome to come on here anytime. To date, I have heard nothing from anybody in Jefferson City who's willing to come and talk about these questions. You know, it's just scary. And, folks, we have at least two committees researching this information. So, you know what committees are. You know, committees are pretty much a way to deflect attention. It's kind of a smoke and mirrors situation. But we have committees. They're holding hearings, and they're investigating the situation, and they're finding documents, and God only knows what. It's all coming across. You know, we'll get back to you on that, folks. We don't know. It's September. We're supposed to have some information on whether or not we're going to get, you know, find out what really happened with the scanning of documents and just exactly what Jay Nixon had to do with all of that. We have a great show lined up for you folks tonight. It's a pretty full, packed couple of hours. We may or may not have commercials if I can get things put together here. Anyway, let's start. Marinka Peshman is going to be on with us tonight. I love this woman. She and I think alike, and she is so eloquent in going after the answers to questions. She's written some great pieces about RICO, and she's going to come on with us tonight, and she's going to talk about how RICO can be an answer to getting justice from all of the corruption and funny business going on in Jefferson or in Washington D.C., and she may have some answers for us folks here in Missouri about how we can get some answers as well. She's been just dogging it with FOIA requests and all kinds of things, trying to get answers to the Benghazi and the NSA issues out there in Washington D.C. And she may have some things to teach us here in Missouri. Maybe we can get to the bottom of this DOR scandal here, following her lead. As many of you know, the Blue Way. We celebrated a great victory here in Missouri and Arkansas a few weeks back. We thought that the federal government had rescinded their appointment for the White River Watershed National Blue Way after some great work by Ike Skelton and Jeannie Burlsworth in Arkansas. going across the state, getting county governments to sign resolutions rejecting the idea of the Blue Way, worked really hard in a short period of time to make this initiative well known to the citizens of our states. And they rescinded their implementation here. Well, the day after they rescinded it, we found out, well, they didn't really rescind it, and they're just trying another avenue through the back door. Anyway, Ike Skelton's going to be on with us a little bit later. He's on top of it, and he's got a plan for how to organize the folks and how to defeat this initiative. Usama Dakdok, we haven't talked to him in several weeks. Since the overthrow of the Egyptian government, Usama, there's nobody better to be able to give us an explanation of what's going on there and how it affects the folks here in the States than Usama. As you know, Usama was born in Egypt, grew up in Egypt. He's a Coptic Christian. He travels the United States talking to groups, giving you the real scoop on what radical Muslim really is and what it really means to the folks here in the United States. He's going to be on with us a little bit later. And because it's not another dead issue, we worked really hard to eliminate Common Core here in Missouri. The folks at Missouri Education Watchdog and Missouri Coalition Against Common Core were all over this thing, and I credit them actually for bringing this to the forefront because it's their research over the last 4 years or so that has been picked up by national Tea Party folks and national grassroots folks that have spread that across the country and brought the issue of Common Core to the forefront. Anyway, we tried really hard last session to get some anti-Common Core legislation passed, and it failed at the last minute. I think they were kind of stonewalled with it. But they're not finished. We've got some initiatives that we want to keep this alive, keep this in front of the folks, and they're going to come back next session even stronger and harder and make sure that this Common Core situation goes away, because there's nothing worse than Common Core. And if you've watched the news here in Missouri, we've got a lot of situations brewing here just in the St. Louis area where they're trying to create a busing situation again through various pieces of legislation and the initiatives that have been passed over the last, couple of years, failing school districts, trying to ship kids into other areas. So anyway, Gretchen will be on with us a little bit later to talk to us about that, and we'll get you all caught up on the day's events. We're going to... No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
It really is time for the people of America to take up pitchforks.
So dear, for peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
We're back. This is Lisa Payne Nager, and you are listening to Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Glad to be here with you again. Still trying to get organized. Had a little hiccup right before we went on air, so my board is a mess. But we do have Marinka Peshman on with us tonight. If you folks have not had an opportunity, she's been on with us before. She is just a bulldog investigative reporter. And if you have not had an opportunity to read her stuff, you need to go to marinkapeshman.com because she's written some great books and she's got great articles, very informative. If you folks are serious about getting something done, if you're tired of watching Rome burn, Marinka has some answers for us. Thanks for being on with us, Marinka.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here, and I have to say, just I caught the tail end of what you were describing as going on in Missouri now with your governor and the runaround that you're running into. It's just outrageous. But what a lot of people don't realize, this has been going on for decades now, and we have a serious, serious problem. Your political justice system is completely corrupt, and you can't get justice there anymore because the politicians own it. And so when I hear people call for a special prosecutor and, you know, the Republicans should hold hearings and committees, how many hearings and committees have they been holding and who's been held accountable? How many more times does Eric Holder, your attorney general, get to lie to Congress? And if you or I did that, Lisa, we would have been charged with perjury, okay? You know, we'd be doing some time right now. So, you know, that's just one example. With the special prosecutor, what a lot of people may not remember, the last time we saw a special prosecutor was during the Clinton era. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about that in a book called The Whistleblower, How the Clinton White House Stayed in Power to Reemerge in the Obama White House. And literally what we saw during the Clinton era, the Obama White House is the Clinton White House on steroids. Same mob tactics, but kicked up a notch. And in the case of a special prosecutor, can you imagine, there was a person in this world, his name is Robert Ray, he was a special prosecutor, who had the evidence to indict Hillary Clinton on perjury, obstruction of justice, you know, all these great things that we're now seeing in Benghazi. And he used his prosecutorial discretion not to do it. Same thing during impeachment with Bill Clinton. They played let's make a deal. So here we fast forward to the Obama administration. Has anyone been held accountable for Fast and Furious, for the IRS targeting, for Benghazi? You know, we can stay in the same movie. We know how it ends. Or we can take some action with, it's called RICO. RICO is the Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act.
I want to take some time into really getting into what that is, because just the small amount of research that I've been doing on it, reading your articles, this is huge and it's very complicated.
Well, it is and it isn't. And I'm not a lawyer, so everything that I'm saying, I've done a lot of research on it. I've spoken to a lot of people about it. But for anyone who have been deprived of their rights by the U.S. government, there's a very strong possibility you can file under the RICO statutes. Now, RICO was written back in the 1970s. It is the only laws that stop the mafia. For years, no one could touch them. They own the judges, they own the cops, you know, they own the city.
Right.
And it wasn't until RICO was on the books where things started to change. Now, there's two types of RICO, to keep it simple. You have the criminal RICO, and that's where you're going to run into the federal government. You're going to be shut down. Forget about it. Civil RICO. Civil RICO is handled at a local level. So you're dealing with local prosecutors, attorney generals, judges. You want a jury trial. You don't want to find yourself in a situation where a judge can be bought.
Mm-hmm.
And what's great about it is, like in the case of the IRS, for example, you have a name of a government worker who deprived you of your rights, or possibly deprived you of your rights. You're not suing the IRS. If you sue the IRS, you're going to be shut down. They have deep pockets. But if you have a case against someone working within an agency, you can file a civil RICO. Now, this is where things change, because we have this wall of silence in federal government. It's so hard for a whistleblower to come forward. There's no place for them to go. You know, we hear about these Witness Protection Act and, you know, this executive order. It all sounds great. But the reality is there is no safe place to go. That's why no one's talking.
Okay, so just speaking of whistleblowers, how does this maybe apply to the guy who fled to China? When he started leaking all of the NSA secrets and everything that were going on with the government, I mean, a lot of people said, why didn't he go to his congressman? Why didn't he go through the proper channels? Well, there were no proper channels, exactly like you said, for him to go.
Yeah, where's he going to go?
He's toast anyway.
He's going to be shut down. Yeah.
Well, can he
with the Benghazi hearings. Remember those two whistleblowers, Hicks and, forgive me, I just blanked on the other gentleman's name. And it was Hicks who said, you know, he was demoted, he was stuck in a, you know, corner office, nothing to do, for daring to come forward. Same thing happened. I document this in The Whistleblower with Linda Tripp. You know, they stuck her in an office. They paid her $100,000 a year. I actually went with her to this office in the Pentagon. And I can tell you, people would not even, they were afraid to say good morning. They would, like, look up and look away. And she sat in a windowless ong looking for something to do. And that's what the taxpayers are paying. They're paying salaries for these people who are being shut down. And those are the ones who aren't smeared and, you know, publicly tarred and whatnot, the ones that they just move around in government. This nonsense has got to stop. It is outrageous. And if someone thinks a politician is going to ride in on a white horse and turn things around, I'm sorry to tell you, that's not going to happen. And protests, how many protests, how many more times do you want to hold up a sign? And then you go home and nothing happens. With civil RICO, again, it's at the local level. And what I would suggest for anyone, and this, you know, I would think farmers can sue the EPA. They're being deprived of their rights. They can't even run their business anymore. I mean, it's outrageous. And there are actual statutes, deprivation of rights under RICO. RICO covers witness tampering, extortion. I mean, look at the extortion going on in government. Crony capitalism, they call it. No, it's a shakedown. It's payola. If you don't pay, you don't get to play. That's exactly the mob world. That's what we're dealing with. So let's treat them for what they are. And what stopped the mob? RICO.
So how does this work?
Okay, so let's say you have an individual, and they were targeted, you know, by the IRS, and they have a specific person that they can file a RICO suit against.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the beauty of RICO, okay, is during the discovery process, that's when, you know, you file the subpoenas, that's when you have to bring forward all this evidence. If a person is found liable in a civil RICO case, it's that person who works at the IRS, not the IRS who's liable. It's the person who works at the IRS that has to pay damages. So suddenly when their pocketbook is hit, they're gonna say, well, I was following orders. Oh, who gave you the order? Suddenly things start changing, and you start moving up the chain of command. And if this started on, because from, you know, what I've seen, and I'm sure you know as well, it's a nationwide epidemic. What happened with the IRS didn't just happen in one office, which they tried to, you know, blame it on two rogue agents. I mean, it's preposterous. What was going on, by following these orders, you know, we saw the promotions of some of the IRS staffers who did the government's bidding. They are politicizing your agencies. That is wrong. And people who follow orders are, you know, they receive perks. It's the ones who are abusive that have to be rooted out. Let me give you an example. Like, I wrote an article on my website, and it's literally like a toolkit. And I provide of how to hold Washington accountable under RICO. And there's all sorts of different law review papers where you can see how it's worked successfully somewhere else. So, for example, I don't know if you remember this, but I guess it was over 10 years ago, the LAPD had a terrible problem with bad cops, with dirty cops. It wasn't the whole LAPD that was corrupted, but they had to root out those bad cops. That was done with civil RICO. And once you get one bad cop, then they start talking, and then you start finding out the other ones, and there it goes from there. And again, as part of the discovery process, if you run into other crimes, you can use that evidence into another case or merge into other cases. You know, I would think that would definitely be the case in the IRS. I would think that would be, you know, with the EPA, perhaps what you're dealing with. I mean, here you have state workers violating state law. Well, whose orders were they following?
Right.
So that's slowly how you get to the top. But I think when people start seeing some justice, some accountability, that's going to give them hope. And then they're going to start stepping forward. I mean, I would love to see some law firms. Look, everyone's quick. They want to file these big lawsuits against the federal government. They don't go anywhere. And let's say they are found guilty 7 years from now, 10 years from now, if people are still paying attention, who pays the damages? The taxpayer.
Right.
So that's
lots
why nothing ever changes. Exactly. But civil RICO, it is the individual person working within that agency who abused their power, and they can say, I was following orders. Yeah, but were you breaking the law? If you're breaking the law, you're going to be found liable under RICO, and the damages are also triple, by the way. Wow. So if people start, you know, suddenly you're, because I don't know if you've run into this, but I run into this all the time, where people, they look the other way. You know, it's that hear no evil, see no evil. The bottom line is you cannot serve in a corrupt administration and not become corrupt yourself. You can humor yourself. You can rationalize. I mean, Linda Tripp did this for a long time. She was a team player. And then one day, they come after you. And I've had this conversation with some people in government, and for the most part, most of them are there and serving for the right reasons. But how can you serve for the right reasons if you're ordered to do things that you know are in violation of the law? And you can make all the excuses you want, but you do become as corrupt as they are. And we have to give people a choice to be able to step up to the plate and do the right thing, or, you know, you're going to face some consequences. No one faces any consequences anymore. That's why I truly believe civil RICO, it's a great place to start, because this can happen all over the country at local levels. Eric Holder can't shut you down.
So, okay, the way I'm understanding it here is that individuals can file civil litigation against individuals in government agencies. And at least on a federal level, how do we know that we can do that on a state level? This is a federal law, so if it works on a federal level, we can go. That it trumps the state law. We can do this for state.
So you want to start in the state, though, right? Because someone in your state, and I'm not as I heard just the tail end of what you were talking about. What's going on with them sharing private information? Someone in a state office did that, right?
Right. Yeah.
So you go after them. Now all of a sudden, if they're liable, they might tell you who ordered them to do it under federal law. So you start at the very, very bottom, and you work your way up to the top. And as people are found liable on the way up, they're going to start talking. Does that make sense?
So basically, you're putting the squeeze upside down. So you're putting the squeeze on the individual employee in the agency or whatever government department. And you're squeezing them to scream. So
holding them liable. I'm sorry.
It makes so much sense. It just kind of begs the question: why isn't this being done on a wider scale?
I wish I could give you that answer, because so many people, they live under this false left-right paradigm, and I don't know how much more evidence do you need? The political system is completely corrupt. There is a special justice system that does not apply to you and me, only to those in power. And let me give you a couple examples of where RICO has worked, okay? And it can work on the political level. So here's an example. Just this March, the mayor of Detroit was found guilty of criminal RICO. What was he doing? He was selling government contracts out of his office. Oh, do we think this is the only politician who's done that? He was found guilty. It can be done. Here's another example, Wall Street. Has anyone been held accountable in Wall Street? No.
No.
Michael Milken, who, for those who may remember, he was known as the junk bond king, right? And he ended up pleading to lesser charges to avoid, because this was under criminal RICO, to avoid the criminal RICO because the penalties are so steep. He could have faced life in prison. And so he pled out, I think he did 22 months in prison, and he had to pay like $1 billion in damages. Can you imagine if that happened in Wall Street today? Wouldn't that just be fabulous? Have your banks done a few numbers to you? Have your brokers done a few numbers to you? I'm sorry?
Yeah, the cockroaches would absolutely scatter under those circumstances.
Exactly, but we have to start. Somebody has got to start. And I really encourage people, you know, you have to lawyer shop, because you don't want a divorce lawyer to handle a medical injury. Not everyone is knowledgeable on the RICO laws. And you need to find.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Because my opinion of the judicial branch is so low. And while we're all watching the executive and the legislative branch, you know, it's kind of like a sleight of hand. It's a magic trick. The judicial branch is underneath all of the muck and the mire, and they are working diligently to just destroy the culture. You know,
Do they run cover? They run cover for these politicians. Yeah.
And that's your problem. And a lot, I mean, most of your legislative branch is they're lawyers. And they do cover for each other. So
right.
That's your trick. How do you find someone in judicial branch lawyers to go after? It's just, you know, that's your problem.
Is that a local level? You forget about the federal government. You start at the local level, a local lawyer. You're dealing with your local justice systems. It's different. It's a civil suit. It's a civil suit. The preponderance of evidence in civil versus criminal is very different.
Okay.
And that's why it's viable, because I agree with you. If you want to go sue Eric Holder, good luck with that. Has anyone checked lately all the lawsuits against Homeland Security? There aren't enough hours in the day to go through all these court cases. And, you know, let me just give you one quick example. This applies to immigration, to legal immigrants. There's an actual law called writ of mandamus, and this is where legal immigrants can file a lawsuit against the Department of Homeland Security to what? To process their applications. By law, they're supposed to, if you cash my check and you accept my application, you're supposed to process it, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. So they sue Homeland Security. And this goes on and on and on. I mean, the courts are clogged. That's a whole other topic with immigration. I could go on a, you know, total tangent on. But you have to bypass the federal. You have to. And the only way to do it is at your local level. And you start at the bottom, and you work your way up. I mean, everyone, especially with the Tea Parties who were targeted, because some are filing lawsuits. But if you're filing a lawsuit against the federal, forget it. It's not going to happen. You have to talk to your lawyers and start filing under RICO against the individuals. And through that discovery process, you're going to find out a whole bunch of other things that will eventually lead you up top.
Okay.
But a special prosecutor, that's going to take years. And then they play let's make a deal. You know what a lot of people don't know what happened during Bill Clinton's impeachment? There were other articles, other crimes that the head of his name is David Schiffers, who was the head of the impeachment hearings, wanted to attach to the articles of impeachment. And he was told by the Republicans, there's no time, move on.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And this one in particular I'm referring to involved immigration and the vote grab aspect, because they had completely subverted and politicized the USCIS, which is the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services. At that time, it was called INS, Immigration Naturalization Services. And what did they do? You know, everyone's looking at immigration completely upside down. How the politicians have used it to their benefit, in this case, what the Clintons did, is right before the 1996 re-election campaign, They wanted to get new voters. So essentially what they did is they rushed the naturalization process. So that means for a person who's a green card holder to become a citizen and give them the right to vote. Well, how do you do that? You break down the background checks. Those were just thrown out. So you have all these American citizens, all these criminals that otherwise never would have been granted the privilege to be a U.S. citizen. And the number they were shooting for was 1 million. And David Schiffers, he documents all of this in his book, Sellout. And you read it, and it makes your hair stand up. And you think that just happened there? No, that happened this election. I wrote all about it. It's called Game Changer. This has been going on for decades. The politicians have politicized all of your agencies. They're not going to fix it. No.
No, they're not going to fix it. And even just looking at it at a local level here, what we're dealing with here in Missouri, they're appointing committees. You know, they're doing investigations. But are they going to turn up any information? They've got a letter from Janet Napolitano that says, thank you, Jay Nixon, for helping us comply with Real ID, which is against the law in your state, but thank you for helping us. And it's
good job.
Yeah. And they're still investigating.
Well, and they'll investigate until people forget, and they'll do a smoke and mirror, you know, slap on the wrist maybe. But, you know, when it comes to these cases, the good news is it's not a total waste having these investigations, because you can use the testimony, that testimony, in your case perhaps. If it applies to your case, it's on record, it can then possibly be introduced into your case.
Okay.
So you already have that starting point. You know a crime was committed. You have to figure out how did it go from A to, you know, E, wherever it is. Who was at the top that ordered this down? Because you have a whole bunch of people who followed orders from somebody to thwart, to violate your state laws.
Absolutely.
And so you have to start going after the individuals who were doing it, who were scanning these biometrics, who were releasing the private information. I mean, I don't know enough of that story. If you want, we can talk about it later. But that would be your starting point. In this case, you have to start at the bottom. And this is across the board with all the RICO cases. You start at the bottom and you work your way up. If you start at the top, forget it. You're going to be shut down.
Yeah, they're too well insulated, and it just will never get anywhere. Amazing.
Right, but once some people within some of these government agencies are suddenly liable and they have to sell their house to pay damages, that is going to – because there's no incentive for people to do the right thing. The way the whistleblower laws are written now, you can blow the whistle all right, but only within your agency. Well, if the problem is with your agency, you're dead. You're gone. Forget it. They tell you, because otherwise you're a leaker, and you could be a grave risk to national security.
So with Snowden case, you know, how could that apply to this situation? I mean, you know, the guy's running around the world trying to find asylum. You know, he's got information left and right. I mean, technically, somebody could file a suit against him because he was part of the problem, but basically he's trying to do the right thing. How do you deal with that?
Well, I personally think because, you know, I don't have – because some people, you know, people jump to conclusions. He's a hero. He's a traitor. And I think the only way to really find out is for his lawyers to make a deal where he can come back to America and he can be tried with a jury of his peers. Okay, he doesn't want to end up in some secret, you know, judge that can be bought off, you know, Gitmo-type military tribunal where he's just, like, thrown away, and that'll be that. If he can get a fair trial in civil court that's public in front of a jury of his peers, then we can properly vet what his real motives were because, you know, you read different things, and I don't know what the full story is. But a proper trial where he can come back to America, post bond, be let out on bond, not sit in a jail cell waiting for his trial, you know, a year from now, and then take it from there. That's the only solution that I can see at this point. But I don't know if that will happen because the Obama administration has a lot to lose in discovery. I mean, I filed a FOIA request with NSA as a journalist regarding a U.S. citizen. And I received a denial letter, and I've since found out other U.S. citizens have also received verbatim the same denial. And essentially what FOIA says is we can't process this because it could, you know, potentially pose, what was the exact words, an extremely grave, it could extremely or gravely damage national security. So by seeking information lawfully under the Freedom of Information Act, which is a lawful tool, okay? It's a way to also root out abuses. If you are so serious about rooting out abuses, this is preposterous because I'm not a risk to national security for doing my job. I'm sorry.
Right.
Well, and you know, so what they're doing is NSA is totally lawless then. There's no accountability. If they can't be held accountable under FOIA, and so I went back and forth with this NSA official there saying, well, tell me then what the criteria is. Because for people who aren't familiar with filing FOIA requests, this is where their argument is so absurd. Every agency, they don't release anything under FOIA that's a risk to national security. They'll redact it. So it's a totally false argument. But they're hiding behind executive order, an executive order that President Obama signed in 2009. That's what they're hiding under. So what you're dealing with is America is under two law books now. You've got the rule of law under the Constitution, and you've got the rule of law under executive order. Which kind of America do you want to live under?
Right. Do you know offhand?
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it was shocking. And, you know, I'm hard to shock on FOIA. And when I saw that, it was just, what? A U.S. citizen. They fund this agency. And if they feel they've been wrongly targeted, they have no recourse under FOIA. to find out. And supposedly everyone's concerned about rooting out abuses because apparently Snowden was some rogue contractor. Well, what if this happens again? How else are you going to find these rogue contractors if you can't do anything? Because if you try, you're a grave risk to national security. It's outrageous what's going on. It's completely and utterly lawless. That's why I'm like a broken record. Rico. What stopped the mob? Rico. What will stop this corrupt government? Like, it's the mob. Rico.
So, Marika Peshman on marikapeshman.com. There's a place on your website where we can get more information about Rico?
Yeah, I've written 3 articles. It's probably halfway down. I should actually make a sidebar with them because hopefully it'll be a really good starting place. And then talk to your local prosecutors, attorney generals, lawyers. Find out who knows about the RICO laws because it's a specialized law that not every lawyer, you know, can handle. Mm-hmm. And then you can tell them what your circumstances are, what happened to you, and then they can take it from there to see if it meets the RICO statutes. And I can't imagine especially, you know, just scratching an IRS and then what you're saying to me, it should be a no-brainer.
You would think. You would think. They're working together to maybe hide the information too. So I think in one of the articles I read, you have to have a certain standard of proof, and you know, getting that, you know, if they have access to it, they can hide it. So that's
well, yes, they can. But it's going to take a couple pit bull lawyers. I mean, people forget what stopped the mob. It was Rudy Giuliani. He played a big role in New York, and he was a dogged prosecutor, and they had all sorts of wires. And then suddenly people started turning when they were held liable. And that's how it starts. But that's what we have to do. Because what are we going to just sit around and complain? No, we need to take action. And anyone who has been deprived of their rights by the U.S. government can file under RICO.
All right. Very good. MarikaPeshman.com. Go there. She's got some great books. All of those articles are there. We're going to look at the RICO information. Marika, it's amazing the stuff you uncover. You know, I can't imagine how you spend your time finding all of this information. It's just fascinating. And you know, we'll get you back on again here soon.
I look forward to that, and I hope it helps. I really, people, you're not hopeless. You have options, so please take action.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a break, and we'll come back with Ike Skelton.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
This is Lisa Payne Nager. We're back. You're listening to Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Just had a great interview with Marika Peshman. RICO, very interesting concept. Love to spend some work here in Missouri on some of the things that are flying around here in our state, all of the nasty little investigations that are going on, and all the corruption that seems to be flying around in Jefferson City. That would be a pretty good deal to be able to use that. Another thing that's been flying around, we're kind of big Agenda 21 folks here. We've been following this issue. You know, as soon as we learned about what it was, which was not that long ago, you know, we've been following it. We've had some great conversations with Ray Cuneo. He's been very educational, trying to get us up on the issues. And just recently, we learned that Missouri and Arkansas was under attack from the federal government trying to establish a national blue way here in the southern part of the state and the northern part of Arkansas. Some folks gathered together and worked very hard to organize the grassroots to fight this information, to fight this initiative, and to get the information out to the public so that we could educate the folks on what this was. One of those folks was Ike Skelton, and he's on the line with me to talk about the White River Watershed National Blue Way. I can say it quickly. Thanks for being on with me today, Ike.
Hi, Lisa. Kind of a mouthful, isn't it?
Yes, it is, along with a lot of the big darn mess. So let's kind of back up a little bit. It's been a few weeks since we talked about it. Give me kind of an overview of what this initiative is and the history up until today.
Okay. Well, real briefly, of course, the watershed designation, White River watershed designation, was a you can read the MOU and find out and find the same thing, is was the attempt, an attempt by the Department of the Interior, Agriculture, and Army Corps of Engineers to basically assume regulatory authority over some 18 million acres, nearly 18 million acres in Missouri and Arkansas. And it opened up a new approach to water and land management by using the watershed approach. Now, if you've read deep into Agenda 21, you'll find that these types of methods are suggested in Agenda 21. But I think that anything, you know, in America, we can't normally do something just overnight, and people are okay with that, especially something as overreaching as Agenda 21. So you have to put a little bit in place and a little bit in place and a little bit in place and a little bit in place. And then here comes, Barack Obama, and everything is put on overdrive, and I think we can see this in various agencies. And so we come up with this Blue Wave designation for to regulate and manage all of these 18 million acres. We found that they wanted to expand almost all of their wildlife refuges that they already have, such as the Cache River Water Refuge, and some others. That was National Wildlife Refuge. That was one of their big ones. And a lot of areas down in Arkansas, candidly, were going to be expanded. So it was some 500,000 acres they wanted to, for lack of a better term, acquire. And they would use our tax dollars and whatever they wanted to do, however they could get that land, they were going to get it. Well, we found out about this designation, and we decided to fight it. Us, I mean a lot of great grassroots people here in southern Missouri and the 21 counties that were affected, property rights coalitions, and CNO10, Tea Party, and a couple other groups, just kind of got together and fought it. We went to every commission in those 21 counties, and at the end of the day, we got 18 out of the 21 counties to come on board with us and say they didn't want to be a part of this Blue Way designation. But prior to us being able to take these resolutions to anyone in an elected office or what have you, a group of stakeholders that started this whole designation, that asked for this nomination, asked that their nomination be withdrawn. Now, we can speculate as to why, and certainly some of us had, but they asked for the designation to be withdrawn, and lo and behold, on July 3rd, about the sometime afternoon, current Secretary of the Interior, Sally Jewell, did then withdraw the designation. We've been in a little bit of a, I have to admit, by them withdrawing that quickly and without so little fight, did quite honestly, I think, achieve what they wanted to do, which was to take a little bit of wind out of our sails. We were really geared up to fight this thing, and that really kind of did throw us on our face for just a little bit. However, we have since dug up some more things, one of them being the National Water Trails System. Folks can research some of that. One interesting water trail system is the Mississippi Water Trail System that certainly does affect a lot of northeastern Missouri. And we're going to have to look at that a little bit deeper. And we have decided to go ahead and as a group to try to get the entire state to get in front of every county commission in the entire state. To make them aware of what the Blue Way designation is, to make them aware of some of these other alleged conservation methods, and see if we can't convince as many commissioners as we can to get on board with us to help preserve the sovereignty of Missouri, and let us conserve our own areas.
Absolutely, and bring that back to local government, and get the federal government out of our business. I mean, they have no business in trying to manage our local waterways.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, Lisa. And I watched the interviews or the hearings today at the one result of our efforts was to get a hearing, a natural resources hearing, to be put on the agenda in Washington D.C. and discuss the Blue Ways. They also had a subcommittee hearing, and they're also going to have a hearing, a field hearing of the Natural Resources Committee in West Plains on July 29th. Now, I don't have the time and exact location in front of me. You might, but I'm sure we can get that out to folks between now and then.
All right, Susan. The secure field hearing examining rights of private property. I do have that. It's okay. We can. We'll give that in a few minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we're going to have that field hearing, and I strongly urge everybody in the state of Missouri that can possibly be there to be there. And here's part of why. Not only do we need to support the counties in southern Missouri that worked very, very hard to have this designation rescinded and to have pushed the federal government out of the state of Missouri at least a little bit, or at least for them to further encroach upon us, we need to stand up at this hearing and let a lot of elected people know that we are very serious, that we are no longer going to stand by and allow these things to just simply occur. You know, it's really ironic. When they pulled back from this designation, the agencies tried to say, oh, well, this was just kind of like a recognition of how great you've done, a blue ribbon of all of these agencies working together, and we just wanted to award you this designation. Well, I would think that if you're going to award somebody anything for doing a really good job, don't you get as much publicity together as you can and involve as many people as you possibly can and all the photo ops? And well, they did none of this. So their argument is really silly on this.
A little weak.
They're very weak. And I was so disappointed when I watched this hearing today. I don't know if you got a chance to watch any of it.
No, I did not.
You know, there was a gal there from Wyoming, an attorney, I believe. She did quite well. I don't recall her name. But some of the other individuals, I was just so very disappointed because it seems that in these hearings, people play along like it's okay for the government to even be doing this at all. I can't find anywhere in my copy of the Constitution where the Department of the Interior should even exist.
Well,
how about you?
or a lot of other departments for that matter, actually. I mean, government overreach is just—it's just taken for granted that it is and it exists anymore. I mean, people don't even think twice about it.
And see, there is the problem. I would love to have had somebody, and I think somebody did bring up something about. Oh, they brought up in the Constitution. Is there any way? Is there any statutory authority to make this designation of a blue way? Somebody did ask that question. Which the proper question is there anywhere in the Constitution that says we can have a Department of the Interior? that's the real question, you see, and so long as we continue to give them the authority that they really don't have, they're going to take. They're going to keep it.
That's right.
Just big government in general. You remember the dollar height situation
right.
with the bunnies? Okay.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that struck me about all of that fight that they had was how many times the Department of Agriculture wanted to make things go away so long as the Dollar Heights signed a piece of paperwork saying that the Department of Agriculture had authority over this matter to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and that's the modus operandi. They're trying to get you to willingly sign away your rights. And once they do, they have you. And we see that happening in Michigan as well with the Baker family. They're, you know, and the pig farmers up in Michigan, same thing. And it's in every aspect of our lives and in these blue way destinations.
That's right. They tried to say this was a voluntary program right before they created it without our knowledge. And then, of course, you know as well as I do, the other hook, if they can't beat you, they'll give you money. You know, it really is the carrot and the stick. And if they can't regulate it out of you, they'll use our own money against us. And unfortunately, there are an awful lot of people that are willing to take that money. And so here we are. So we're just going to try to, you know, also we had a teleconference with the individual that is the lead person in Arkansas as it pertains to the Blue Way designation when it was. And he basically told us on the phone that you know, and this is their story, that there are no new regulations. All of these things in the MOUs were already planned to happen.
Wow.
The Blue Way designation would have just made it easier. So to me, they sort of tipped their hand. If they
wow.
had already planned, yeah, exactly. If they had already planned on doing all of these things, and the Blue Way would have just made it easier, well, maybe we've pushed them back a few steps and making what they want to do harder, and I think we need to go ahead and go after the plans that they already have
okay.
and try to get them completely turned around.
Yeah, oh, that's just frightening because, I mean, their master plan is just huge. They were trying to get it in under the radar. We found out about it. They had to back off. So what's the next step now, Ike? I mean, where are we with, you know, what's our next plan? Are we going after the National Water Trail System? What are we doing?
Yes, and I think we're going to use the same kind of approach, I think, that they are to some extent. That is, they want to try to use what they use, a holistic approach, or in their words, you know, this watershed approach where they can, and I'm sure you know, having mm-hmm. are familiar with Agenda 21, this holistic the whole area being one thing and everything being in touch with each other, you know, and dependent
mm-hmm.
on the other, therefore you have to look at it in this holistic way. I think we need to do the same thing. I think we need to look here in Missouri, and I think we need to expose what these various departments are doing in the name of environmentalism. And I think
mm-hmm.
we need to let these counties know what's happening, our county commissioners, and we need to ask them to come on board with us to sign this resolution and to be willing to start pushing back against the federal government in all of these various areas. Did you know that the canoe rental folks on the current river are required to pay 4% of their revenues to the Department of the Interior so that the Department of the Interior can maintain the current river?
Oh, you're kidding me. Over and above all the other taxes that they pay for running their business?
It's absolute insanity.
Oh, my God.
And they've been doing this for, well, I don't remember when they told them this. Might have been back in the 70s that the current river designation came around. I honestly don't recall. But I believe we need to peel back the books and just start finding out all of these different things that have been enacted and figure out how to try to get them overturned.
Okay, so you're going to need some help with this, Ike. So what's your plan? What do you need?
We're going to need a lot of help. And we do have a conference call set up for Friday evening. I know it's Friday evening. It's at 8:30 at night. I'm hoping a lot of people won't be out at the movies or what have you. They can get on the conference call. And unfortunately, being a little unprepared and on the road here, I don't have the call-in numbers with me.
Okay.
It's all over Facebook. There'll be some emails going out. You know, maybe we can get it on again, but that'll be at 8:30. Look on Facebook and the various places. See how you can chime in to the call, the conference call. The method that we used in southern Missouri for these 21 counties was incredibly effective. So I want to try to replicate that around the state. We have some leaders already willing to take over some of the districts. We just need other folks to come along and to help us out. So anybody and everybody, get on that conference call and be willing to volunteer. If you want to contact me right now and volunteer, my email address is mypoliticalmail, that's M-A-I-L, ike@gmail.com, and just come on board and help us out.
Okay, very good. So basically what you're trying to get, Ike, is you're trying to get folks in every county in Missouri to sign on to present this resolution to their county councils to reject these Blue Way or Waterway Water Trail Systems initiatives.
That's correct. It will be to stand in solidarity with the southern counties of Missouri, and that will also open the door for us to talk to these commissioners about everything else that is going on.
Okay, very good. And I will, I know that I have that information on the conference call, and I will post that at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org tonight after the show. And I will also put it on our Facebook page, Missouri Grassroots Coalition. You can go there and get that information on how to join in on the conference call. And I will also repost Ike's email address there along with it so that you can get in touch with him and become involved. Ike, Is there anything else that we need to know about this great long arm reach of the government into our lives at this moment? Do we have a deadline that we're working on?
We're looking at August 15th to see what we can get accomplished. Somebody asked me that, so I just picked a date. We'll see what we can accomplish by then. At least by then we should know where we're standing. You know, just remember the left never quits, and we can't either.
Right. All right. Ike Skelton, mypoliticalmail.ike@gmail.com.
That's correct. And if you ever wanted to help out defeat the federal government, we did it. We've done it. We pushed them back on the blue way. They've even suspended designating any other areas as blue ways in America because of our efforts so far.
Amazing.
Exactly. I think we have them moving backwards, and I want to keep pushing them backwards. This is the time to get on board and help out.
Very good. Ike Skelton, thank you so much. We will be in touch. Please come back on and keep us updated with your efforts.
You bet, Lisa. Thank you much.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with Usama Dekdok.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
It really is time for the people of America to take up pitchforks.
Our well-being at home and our leadership abroad are inextricably linked. Our friends and allies must again be able to trust us. From Israel to Colombia, from Poland to the Philippines, our allies and friends have to know that we will be reliable and consistent and determined. And our foes, can have no reason to doubt our resolve because peace really does come through strength.
Just when you thought it was all over, when you thought it was time to hang it all up, Lisa is back.
This is Lisa Payne Nager, and you're listening to Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. We have talked to some very interesting guests tonight. There's a lot of stuff buzzing on across the nation and right here in Missouri. And a few weeks ago, we had, you know, one of the biggest national news stories. We've all been watching very carefully the developments in the Middle East. And the overthrow of the Egyptian government has a lot of implications as to what can happen here in the United States and what that means for the folks here in America. Haven't talked to him in a while. Very glad to have him back on. Usama Dekdok of the Straight Ways Ministries, thestraightway.org. You can go there and find out all of his information and pick up his books. Usama, thanks for being with me tonight.
Thanks to be with you, Lisa. Appreciate you to have me on your show.
So, Usama, it's been a while. We haven't talked in quite a while. There's been a lot of developments in the Middle East. You were born in Egypt. You grew up there. You are a Christian who grew up in the Middle East in a Muslim culture, and there's nobody that I can think of better prepared or more uniquely with a more unique perspective of what's going on over there to tell us Americans what it's really like than you.
Well, thank you, Lisa. I appreciate you. This is a wonderful word. The fact is that Egypt is going through turmoil, and it will be like that for a long time. We can tie it to the scripture, as the prophecy has been told by Prophet Isaiah, chapter 19, where we read about what will be in Egypt. And sadly, the United States are taking the wrong side. since we really started this mess. We are the one who started this mess in Egypt. You see, under Mubarak, when President Mubarak was in charge in Egypt for 60 years, or almost 61 years, there's not any person who was able to get in power among the Brotherhood in Egypt. And Mubarak was very harsh with these people to the point that not one mayor, not one senator, not one congressman, not any person in Egypt from the Brotherhood was able to run for any political office in the land. Well, Bush forced of Mubarak to have democracy in Egypt, and that is a problem. We do not understand America because simply we do not understand the Muslim world. We do not understand Islam. We think if we force democracy in Egypt, we end with freedom. No, if you force democracy in Egypt, you end with the wrong people in power because there will never be democracy in the Muslim world. Not in Egypt, not in Lebanon, not in Syria, not in Iran, not in Iraq, not in Afghanistan. There are 57 Muslim countries around the world. We should stay away from them. Let the dictator rule this land, because if the dictators in these lands are not ruling their own people, the Brotherhood, the Al-Qaeda, the Fatah, the Hamas, the Shabab, the Ikhwan, whatever jihadist name you can come up with, they will be the ones who will be leading through democracy, because there's no a fair election in Egypt. So resulting of Bush W forcing Mubarak to allow people to run for office, we end with a good 10-15% of important seats and important jobs in Egypt taken by the Brotherhood. Now, behold, we go quickly. We remove Mubarak from power with the help of the lover of all the Brotherhood of the Middle East and the whole Muslim world, Barack Hussein Obama. So he forced Mubarak to sit down just in a few days after a few people were killed. And not only he removed Mubarak from power, he made sure that the Brotherhood would take over the country. And I'm not kidding you, Lisa. If you have seen the speech which the President Obama gave in Cairo after he won his first election, he demanded that the Brotherhood would attend his speech. And they were there, and they clapped hands for him, not knowing, obviously most Americans do not know that, but I know that these are the people who helped him to win his election in America by literally sending millions of dollars from the Muslim world to Obama to help him to win the election in America. And here they are, clap in hand for this former president for the first time in the history of Egypt after 80-some years, and now the Muslim Brotherhood took power of the country, and sadly, Mohamed Morsi gave him this the high position of the president of Egypt. And not only he received this, there's so much happening, Lisa. But let me quickly say that he was receiving all what the Brotherhood wished to have from America. The weapon. Obama, in 1 year, he sends them, actually, he's been working on it for quite some time, but he sends them the last year, F-16, F-18, warships, tanks, name it, all the weapons which we should remove from the Middle East, from Muslim countries, which especially the one who led by the Al-Qaeda or Brotherhood. Now Obama sending this aid to Mohamed Morsi and his helpers. And believe it or not, let me share with you a couple new pieces here of information, which I don't think even the media covers them in America yet. So you are the first to hear. I just found out 3 days ago that we found out that Mohamed Morsi, this removed president of Egypt, he's no longer president, praise God for that, building a new city in Sinai, in the desert of Sinai. And that is the desert you see between the two ears of the Red Sea. If you come in from Egypt on the east side, going north to Sinai, before you get to Gaza, this is the border of Egypt, this land. And in this land, Mohamed Morsi have brought 50,000 Hamas Palestinians. That's 50,000 men and women. And he made them citizens of Egypt. And he was receiving millions of dollars from the President Barack Hussein Obama to build a city for them. So this was a good deal between Obama and Mohamed Morsi and Israel to remove Hamas from the land of Gaza to the land of Sinai and build them a new life. But guess what? When the Egyptian found out about it, I heard about it 3 days ago, and the Egyptian military found about it maybe a good two days before that or so. So we send our military in Egypt and remove all these Palestinians back to the border out of Egypt back to the city of Gaza. And that's one big boo-boo. Obviously, we did not know anything about it until, as I said, 3 days ago. So obviously, we have a problem in Egypt. That it's not going to get better. And the Muslim riots in Egypt, as you see on TV, and obviously here we were busy the last few weeks in America with the George Zimmerman case. We don't really mm-hmm. care about what's happening to the church in Egypt and the Christian in Egypt and the chaos in Egypt. And I believe, you know what, Lisa, deep, deep in my heart, the only one who won out of George Zimmerman case is the liberal and Obama, because now we're not looking at him. We have no idea what he's doing. So instead of we continue to track down who killed our ambassador in Libya, in Benghazi, if it is Obama or Hillary or somebody else, and if we look at what's happening with IRS, if we look what's happening here and there within Obama administration, the Muslim people, he is a continually Muslim jihadist. He is empowering, and he gives them high position in America and all over the world under our umbrella. You guys are so... as a nation, as America, so naive, you get distracted with one case, one white Spanish, which is a new name. I never know that Spanish have white and black. But a white Spanish killed a black young boy, 17 years old, and this one case distracted the whole entire country for 3-4 weeks. And we're no longer talking about Obama and what he's doing. So obviously, Obama is the only one who's winning out of this. Egyptian figure out Barack Hussein Obama, Lisa. But the Americans have not yet. It's sadly to see. I mean, seriously, look at the whole entire Egypt. We're talking about 60 county there where people hold signs, and the signs have a huge picture of Barack Hussein Obama. And next to it, it's written in the English language, Obama support terrorists. Obama support the Brotherhood.
Right.
Obama support those who did September 11. These are the words written on the big signs all over Egypt. So the Muslim Egyptians knew who Barack Hussein Obama is, and sadly, Americans have not figured it out yet, until now.
So let's punctuate that a little bit, Osama, because I did see a lot of that reporting that the Egyptians do not appear to care for Barack Obama. I mean, they hate what he's doing. They hate the gun running. They hate the support of the Muslim Brotherhood. But with the different factions of the Muslims in the Middle East, how do we know? I mean, obviously, I agree with you. We need to get out of there and not support anything that's going on over there. You just can't win either way you go, because they just don't like the Christian influence of the Americas. So how do you deal with that?
Lisa,
which factions are which?
Yes. Well, listen, the what we do in America is what we know here in this country to be insane. Doing the same thing, expecting different results. I said it a good 9 years ago or 10 years ago when we have the big war in Iraq and Afghanistan. I know what I said, Lisa. We have videos all over YouTube. I mean, you can go and watch it or just, you know, check online. I said this war, which Bush led in the Middle East, it is a waste of blood and money. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. There will never be democracy in Iraq. There will never be democracy in Egypt. There will never be democracy in any Muslim country. The only way you can have democracy, Lisa, in a Muslim country is get rid of Islam. And that is impossible. And you cannot win the war against Islam with bullets. It is a war of education. So we lost under Bush over $2 trillion and over 6,500 soldiers for nothing. For nothing. You know what nothing is? Zero. Zip. Nothing. And we will continue to do the same thing. And sadly, I see McCain is got hooked into that. McCain wants our troops to be in Syria. McCain wants us to support and send some stuff to Egypt. Our ambassador, mm-hmm. the American ambassador in Cairo, she's really looking forward to help the Brotherhood. I mean, how sick it is when you have 33 million people in the streets saying no to the Brotherhood. But until today, Obama and his administration wanted Mohamed Morsi back in power. How many people have to die before Obama figure out what he's doing is wrong? It is so sick, Lisa. It's so sick. That's why the Egyptians hate Obama, and he threatens them. Well, he's not going to send them the $1.5 billion worth of weapons. Well, guess what? Saudi right now sends us $10 billion. And Qatar sends us $3 billion. That's $13 billion. That's more than what America is going to send to Egypt the next 10 years. And I promise you, they will receive help
from everybody else. America lost Egypt, and Egypt will not have the Brotherhood. And if the Brotherhood come back to power in America, all the weapons which Obama sadly sent to Egypt the last year or so, all this weapon will be used against our allies, Israel, and against our own soldiers if we ever go in war against the Brotherhood in Egypt. It's very sad, Lisa. It's very sad, but I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, okay, so again, I mean, it's very confusing because it's like you said, you are never going to have democracy in the Middle East because you have one faction of Muslims fighting another faction of Muslim, and it's never going to go away. So
It doesn't matter who will win in Egypt. Democracy will not exist. I'd rather, President Mubarak told Condoleezza Rice, he told her, he said, listen carefully to me. This country I know, I'm an Egyptian, I'm a 70-some years old man, actually he was almost 80, 79 years old. I know how to rule Egypt. If I will not rule Egypt, the Brotherhood will rule Egypt. You know, Lisa, you can go online right now and listen to the words of Jamal Abdel Nasser, the first president we have in Egypt after King Farouk. And he said, if the Brotherhood took Egypt, Egypt will be destroyed. Then later after him, we get to another president. His name is Sadat, Muhammad Anwar Sadat. And Muhammad Anwar Sadat said the same thing. If the Brotherhood take over Egypt, Egypt will be destroyed. And then they killed Sadat, and then we have Mubarak, who ruled over Egypt for 30 years. And he said, if the Brotherhood take over Egypt, they will destroy the Middle East, and they destroy Egypt. And we're not learning. I don't think anybody in this country, United States of America, can understand Egypt better than the last three presidents we have in Egypt. It's a long history. We know them very well. We know their agenda. For heaven's sake, the Brotherhood are destroying the White House. You don't think they're going to destroy Egypt? How many members Obama need to add to the White House to destroy this country of the Brotherhood? And they say, well, you know what's sick is Americans are so ignorant of Islam. Americans are so ignorant of the Brotherhood to the point now, if you talk to any of the liberals in this country, and I have talked to millions of them, and they will tell you what Obama said, the Brotherhood is a secular group. They're not really religious. They're not Wahhabi. They're not this. What is sick with the liberals in this country? To tell me that the evil is good and the good is evil. The same liberal who will tell you that the Brotherhood is a secular group, the same people will tell you that the Tea Party are terrorist group. Can you imagine that? That's come out Obama's mouth, and all the people who follow him. The Messiah said it, and they believed it, and they will die for it. And this country needs a lot of help. I think America needs an American spring. You know, we have Arab Spring in the Middle East, and I think America needed American spring. Literally, people, for heaven's sake, if the Egyptians can remove the Brotherhood from power in few days, as millions of them stand, 33 million or so, stand up in the street in every important square in our country. And see, when you talk about Egypt, Lisa, you're talking about a country that does not know freedom, a country does not know democracy, and they will never have freedom or democracy. But even though after 80 years the Brotherhood tried to keep the position, and they got it, and within 1 year, the Egyptians end the dream of the Brotherhood, and because they stand up united. Now, when can we have something like this in America to save our country from the same cult, the cult of Islam, which sadly the Egyptians fighting against it and the Egyptians are winning, and we here in America embracing it and begging the Muslim, please take over our country. Please practice Sharia, Islamic law in this country. Please teach our children in our public schools all the lies you want to teach about Islam. Please take every important job in our government. Hey, you want to be a president? Come on in. And here he is, Barack Hussein Obama. He won this country twice, Lisa, twice. First, and the amazing thing is, until today, I don't think American people realize what he did. You see, Barack Hussein Obama won the first election when he lied and deceived the American people by claiming what? United. He united the American, and they voted for him. He said, no more blue and red. He said, no more black and white. No more Spanish and Latino in America. No more poor and rich. No more East and West. We are all united, one country. and the American people loved his lie, and they voted for him. And behold, Barack Hussein Obama is the president of the United States of America. Well, that was the first election. Now, let's look what he did in the second election. He went in the opposite side, Lisa. He divided this country, blue against red, rich against poor, man against woman, Spanish against American, and black against, against what? For heaven's sake, the man divided the red against the red. He divided the Republican Party. See how deceptive he, this man is? So he won both ways in two terms. This is the deception of Allah. This is the deception of Islam. And sadly, American people are like sheep. They're naive. They have no clue what Obama is doing to their country.
Okay, Osama, you're the only one that I ever hear talk about this. Let's point out a few weeks ago the killing of the priest in I think it was in Egypt by the Muslim Brotherhood, and how, and that is not going on in the media. Go ahead.
Two, Lisa, not just one.
Yeah, and you heard nothing in the media.
Of course, you're not going to hear anything about him because you were busy watching George Zimmerman. We're busy watching one white Spanish guy kill a black guy. You know how many black was killed in the last year? You know how many blacks was killed last month in America? I mean, we're talking about a few thousand was killed, and we're talking about one. And these Democrats are so smart. They know how to distract the American. I'm telling you, the only one who won out of this case is not George Zimmerman. It's not the black, or you have not seen what's going to come in this country, Lisa. Black will continue to do what they're doing. And I challenge you, you know what, to watch the next black person will be killed by a white American. It will get worse and worse. Literally, we already have two people have been hurt. Two Spanish people have been hurt, one in Mississippi and one in Alabama, I believe, because revenge. Revenge of what? If you want to revenge, you're revenge from George Zimmerman, not another white Spanish guy. You know how stupid these black people are? They're acting like Muslims. They're literally practicing the command of Allah. You see, retaliation is in the Quran. I don't know how much you know about retaliation in Islam. Retaliation is not the teaching of the democracy of America. Retaliation is the teaching of Allah in the Quran. If you go to Quran chapter 2 and verse 178, what do we read there? 2:178. Let me open my Quran here and read it to you because I don't want to be just making stuff from my head. 2:178. Here we go. Allah said, retaliation is ordained to you in the matter of murder. Here it is. One chapter 3. Anyway, I'll give it to you from my head. I know for sure it's chapter 2, verse 178. Retaliation is ordained to you in the matter of murder. A free man for a free, a slave for a slave, and a female for a female. That's exactly what Allah said in the Quran. So black in America are not practicing the Constitution, the Judeo-Christian law of America, but they're actually practicing the barbaric teaching of Allah in the Quran, which is, you killed one of us, we're going to kill one of you. It doesn't matter who killed him. And they do not believe in the justice of the system in America. And believe it or not, that's what's going to be the future of the United States of America. From now on, any black will be killed by a white, by a Spanish. It's okay for 100 blacks to kill 100 blacks. It's okay for 1,000 blacks to kill 1,000 blacks. That's no problem at all. I promise you. You'll not hear about it on TV. You'll not hear about it on the radio. You're not going to know anything about it. But a white person, Spanish or not, killing a black, it's going to be like that. So we got distracted with George Zimmerman, and we forgot about Christians killed in Egypt. You know how many churches have been burned the last few weeks in Egypt? You know how many homes, Christian homes, have been burned and destroyed? How many Christian businesses have been burned to the ground and destroyed in Egypt by the Brotherhood? And the media did not talk about it for two reasons. Because number one, these are the people who Obama still supports. He's still giving Mohammed Morsi the green light to come back to his place and be the leaders of Egypt. And I guarantee you, if you give Obama his way, he will force the Egyptians to put Mohammed Morsi back in power, like it or not, because that's his agenda. He made deals with the Brotherhood. He made deal with Taliban. He's making deal right now with Al-Qaeda. He's making deal right now with Afghanistan. He destroyed all the hard work Bush did in Iraq, and he's demolishing all the blood which has been shed in Afghanistan, as you and I talk right now. He's about to leave Afghanistan for good, and he's going to give it back to the Taliban. And may Allah bless Barack Hussein Obama and all the Muslim wonderful friends of his all over the world. That's the reality. So sadly, it's very sick, Lisa. It's very sick.
Well, Usama, what have you got cooking these days? I know you've got some great books up on your website. Tell me what you've got going on.
Sure. I would love for America, my heart desire for America, to read the Quran, learn the truth about Islam. We spent 4 years, Lisa, to translate this Quran to an accurate English translation. And I did everything I can. I'm not a very big ministry, and you know that you know about our ministry. And I send a copy of my Quran to every senator, to every congressman, to every governor, to the High Supreme Justice Court. I literally spent $13,000 in 1 week. That was 3 years ago. And sadly, until today, I have not heard from any senator or any congressman or any governor. They send me a thank you letter. Some of the governors or some of the senators send me a thank you letter, but I have not heard anything bad to say that they have read the Quran and now they know what's happening with Islam. So my challenge for your audience is to go to our website, get yourself a copy of the Quran and read it. And at the same time, please, for the love of your children, for the love of your grandchildren, for the love of the future and the freedom of this country, call your senators, call your congressmen and women, call your governors and ask them specifically, have you read the generous Quran, which is written by Usama Daktok, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. If your senator or your governor or your congressman or even we send it also to the High Supreme Justice Court, if you know how to get in touch with any of these people and ask them, and they say, well, we do not have his copy, the generous Quran, please email us at usama@thestraightway.org, usama@thestraightway.org, and send us the senator name, the congress name, and the governor name, and we would be gladly to send him or her a new copy. That's number one. Number two is a new book, a brand new book. It's called Exposing the Truth About the Quran. It is the only book I know of has critiqued the teaching of Allah in the Quran concerning creation and the stories of the prophets. As you read this 850 pages, you'll be shocked how terrible, how the Quran is full of error, the Quran is full of contradiction, the Quran is a foolish, dumb counterfeit to the Bible. And I know Muslims brag about the Quran. Oh, the Quran talk about Adam and his wife. Allah did not know who is her wife. Allah, the Quran talk about the sons of Adam. They do not know their names, Cain and Abel. Allah talk about Noah and Moses and Abraham and Jesus and Elisha and all the stories we know about in the Quran. And Muslims would say, hey, look, we believe in the same God. No, Allah is Satan. And all these stories, which has been taken out of the Bible by Muhammad, all of them are corrupted. They're full of error. They're full of contradiction. We end our book, chapter 41, with the story of Muhammad himself. Of course, Lisa, you have heard about the Muhammad movie, which Obama and Hillary claimed that causes the killing of our ambassador, Chris, in Benghazi, Libya. Now, in this chapter, chapter 41, 70-some pages, in it, as well as we have a video, by the way, available on our website. It's called Revealing the Truth Behind the Muhammad Movie. Revealing the Truth Behind the Muhammad Movie. It's a documentary, 2 hours, where we play the 19-minute movie, which Hillary and Obama lie about, and then we show you, as you read my book, the same thing. If you read my book, you'll see that every piece of information, every sentence has been put in this video with nothing but truth came out of the Quran and the Hadith. The Quran, Allah's word, and the Hadith, Muhammad's word. So when the movie said Muhammad is a child molester, yes, he is a child molester. For no 51-year-old man can fall in love and have a wonderful marriage with a 6-year-old child. When we say Muhammad is an adulterer, yes, he is an adulterer. Go read the Quran, chapter 66, verse 1. When we say Muhammad is a womanizer, yes, he is a womanizer. Go read the Quran, chapter 33, verse 50. And when we say Muhammad is a thief, yes, he's a thief. Read the Quran. When we say Muhammad is a liar, yes, read the Hadith and read the Quran. When we say Muhammad, and so on and so on. So everything you want to know about Muhammad, we put in the last chapter, in chapter 41. And I hope and I pray people will get a copy of Exposing the Truth About the Quran, the Revelation of Error, and there you'll see the entire truth for what it is.
Thank you so much.
Sure, you know that we have lots of videos available on YouTube, lots of videos available on our website, And we also have 8 DVDs, a good maybe 23 hours worth of teaching on different topics. As you look on our website, you get to know a little bit about it. And I appreciate you, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me on. Please pray for Egypt. Pray for the Christian Egypt. Pray for democracy to take this Egypt. Pray for Barack Hussein Obama, that may God change his wicked heart and he may stand up for the Christian, for the Muslim of Egypt, who do not want Sharia, who do not want the Brotherhood to control Egypt, who want to have peace with Israel, who want to have prosperity in Egypt. If Obama can do one thing right, for heaven's sake, in his second term, it will be the one thing and the only thing he did is to stand up with the Egyptian, Christian and Muslims alike, who do not want Mohammed Morsi to be in power and who want freedom and democracy. Sadly, this man is doing everything wrong. He is backwards. He's literally fulfilling the prophecy of the end of time, where he called evil good and good evil, sadly.
Usama Dakdok, thestraightwayministry.org, or thestraightway.org. Go there, get his videos, get his books. Thank you, Usama. I hope you'll come back
soon.
All right.
You can call me anytime, sister. Thank you so much. God bless.
I will. Have a good evening.
We'll take a break.
Bye-bye.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
Our well-being at home and our leadership abroad are inextricably linked. Our friends and allies must again be able to trust us. From Israel to Colombia, from Poland to the Philippines, our allies and friends have to know that we will be reliable and consistent and determined. And our foes can have no reason to doubt our resolve because peace really does come through strength.
Just when you thought it was all over, when you thought it was time to hang it all up, Lisa is back.
Okay, folks, that's about going to wrap it up for us tonight. A few things I want to leave you with. I want to let you know, you heard a promo earlier in the program about our Missouri Grassroots Coalition Secret Santa initiative. Last year, we had the opportunity to help 15 families provide Christmas for their kids. We had great donations from the grassroots folks, all of the listeners, and all of the people in Missouri Grassroots Coalition donated money. They went to the website and clicked on the Secret Santa tab, and you can donate through PayPal, check, or money order. We raised $1,000 last year, and what we did was we took that money. Those of us in the Missouri Grassroots Executive Committee that live in different parts of the state went to local retailers in our state on Christmas Eve and paid off layaway accounts that we knew were sitting there with toys and gifts in them for Christmas, and had people come pick those gifts up, take those home, and wrap them up for their kids for Christmas, keep the spirit of Christmas and the magic of Christmas alive for Missouri families and Missouri kids across the state. We're trying to do that again this year, folks. We want to raise $2,000. This is a tough year for folks, and it's just going to get tougher, and there are going to be a lot of families really struggling at Christmas time, and we want to be able to help those families out. Every penny that you donate goes to the initiative. It goes to the Secret Santa initiative here, and please go to the Missouri Grassroots Coalition and donate there. I have the information for Ike Skelton's conference call on Friday at 8:30. I will post that up on the Facebook page and at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org right after the show. We'll have a great show for you next week. I'm getting the wrap-up sign here from the folks on air. Please join us here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. I'll be here Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Until that time, we'll talk to you again on Wednesday.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Check out our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.